Okay, now we want to prove the last important theoretical results for the Verlet dynamics. And we want to prove that the Verlet dynamics has a conserved Hamiltonian, in the sense that during the evolution, there is a combination of the momenta and of the coordinates that is kept constant. At each time, we get exactly the same value. This is something that we already verified for the harmonic oscillator, but this is a general result which is true for any kind of interaction. So let's remember the Verlet dynamics, which is written here. So we have the exponential of IL delta t is approximated as the product of three terms, which, as we already said, LP, LQ, are Liouvillians associated with simple Hamiltonians. One is associated with the kinetic energy and the other with the potential energy. Then we use the Baker-Campbell-Hausdorff formula, which is written here. I also include the first correction to the leading term, which I will need at the end in such a way to show at least once what is the shape of the leading correction to the Hamiltonian when we computed the conserved ones. It's not very relevant here, but the basic thing that one should be aware is that once we put together these two terms, then we get a result which contains LP plus LQ, which is the original Liouvillian, but then we have a collection of nested commutators, and the two leading terms are written here. They are proportional to delta t cube, and they are commutators of LQ, LP, and then again with LQ and LP. And this is true up to corrections of order delta t to the 4. Now, what we want to show is that the sum of all these terms, which are in square bracket inside the exponential, to all orders, including so the terms of order delta t to the 4th, delta t to the 5th, and so on, can be written as IL hat, where L hat is a Liouvillian. Liouvillian means that this is a first order differential operator that is defined as here. So there is an H hat, a function that we call the Hamiltonian, such that the coefficients of the derivative respect to P and the derivative respect to Q can be written as derivatives of H hat, exactly as we usually do in the Liouvillian case. Of course, there is no requirement that H hat is a canonical function, so it will not have the standard form P squared over 2m times plus a function of Q. So it will not have this form, and I will show you the first correction in delta t when we will compute h hat at the end of this lesson. So the idea is that the exponential of ilt in the Verlet approximation is replaced with the exponential of il hat t, where L hat is again a Liouvillian, which is associated with H hat. So the Liouvillian dynamics is a standard Hamiltonian dynamics associated with a different Hamiltonian, which is H hat. So this is the basic property. So that this means that when we do the Verlet dynamics, we are just studying a standard Hamiltonian system, so we can use all the standard results of statistical mechanics and ergodic theory for any finite delta t. Of course, we are not simulating the correct system, and this tells you that whenever we use the Verlet dynamics, we are still doing a statistical mechanics, but with a different Hamiltonian, and so there is a bias in our result. So there is a systematic error in the result. So our proof uses two results, and the results are essentially that the sum of two Liouvillians is again a Liouvillian, and that the commutator of two Liouvillians is again Alluvial. So let's see the proof. So imagine that you have Alluvial L1, which is associated with Hamiltonian H1. Then we have Alluvial L2, which is associated with Hamiltonian H2. Then the sum of the two Alluvial is associated with the sum of the two Hamiltonians. And this is quite easy to verify because the sum of the two operators is simply written. And then you simply put together the two Hamiltonians and you see in the last line in page 2 that IL1, IL2 has again the standard form that Alluvial has, but now the Hamiltonian is replaced by H1 plus H2. So the sum of two Alluvials is obviously Alluvial associated with the sum of the two Hamiltonians. Now, the last trivial result is that the commutator of Alluvial is also Alluvial. So we have L1, which is associated with H1. We have L2, which is associated with H2. Then we take the commutator of IL1, IL2. We get a differential operator, IL3. This is a differential operator. And then we will check that IL3 is a first-order differential operator, which is associated with a new Hamiltonian, H3. Exactly. With a new Hamiltonian, H3, that we will be able to compute. So let's give the proof, again, only for one particle in one dimension. So IL1 is defined here. IL2 has, of course, the same form, but now we should use H2 instead of H1. And then we want to compute the commutator. So we imagine, remember that this is IL1 and IL2 are differential operators, so it's always useful to imagine that these two operators are applied to a function. This is exactly what we do in quantum mechanics. Whenever we do commutation of differential operators, it's a good idea to imagine these operators to be applied to a wave function. So here we introduce a generic function f of p and q, and then we imagine, and then we compute IL1, IL2 applied to f. So we write explicitly these two Alluvial. The first Alluvial is applied to f, and then we should do the derivative associated to IL1. When we apply IL1 to IL2F, there are two kinds of terms. There are first terms that involve second order derivatives of F. So when we apply d over dp, d over dq to IL2F, we consider the derivatives of applied to derivatives of F. So we get the second order derivative of F. And these terms are collected in the first two lines, lines A. And then we have the terms in which the derivative which appear in L1 are applied to the Hamiltonian H2. And this is the collection of terms which are called B. These are the two kinds of terms that I obtained here. So I've divided in the first two lines, the group of terms named A, are those in which we have second order derivatives of f, while the terms collected under b are the terms that contain second order derivatives of h2. Then, if we want to compute the commutator, we have to subtract the analysis contribution in which we simply exchange one with two. So we can take this expression and subtract 1 and 2. So first consider the terms A, so the terms that contain second order derivatives of F, only those terms. So terms A, I subtract terms that in which I exchange 1 with 2, and you can immediately see that the terms cancel one with the other. For each term in the first two lines, there is an analogous term with the same sign in the third and fourth line, so that the sum vanishes. So the terms of type A in the commutator vanish. So there are no second order derivatives of the function f, which means that the commutator of Tullio-Villian is a first order operator. And this is, of course, something that we expect if we want to prove that the commutator is also Tullio-Villian. Now let's consider terms of type B, which are rewritten here. So here I have replaced, I have rewritten the terms, the type B, so that B1 are the terms that contain the derivative of f with respect to p, and the terms and the second line that are the terms that contain the derivatives of f with respect to q. So these are exactly the terms of order B which appear in the previous line. Then we only consider terms of order B1, only terms B1, and we subtract the contribution in which we exchange 1 and 2. So we are taking the terms of order B1 and we subtract the terms in which we replace 1 and 2. So that in the next line we have the contribution to the commutator. We get 4 terms in parentheses multiplied by df over dp. And then if you look carefully, these 4 terms can be written as the derivative respect to q of something which is now in parentheses, which is the derivative of h1 respect to q, the derivative of h2 respect to p, minus the derivative of h1 respect to p times the derivative of h2 with respect to q. And this is exactly what we expect for a Tullio-Villian. And indeed, we define h3, which is minus the quantities in parentheses. So if we do this, then the derivative, the terms of order B1, give rise to minus dh3 over dq times df over dp. The check, of course, is that B2, the terms of order B2, minus the terms that I obtain exchanging the index 1 with the index 2, can be rewritten as the derivative of dh3 over dp times df over dq. This is something that I don't do it here explicitly, but of course you should do it as a final check. And once we have done that, we are finished with the proof. So we have proved that the commutator of the Tullio-Villian is again a Tullio-Villian with Hamiltonian H3, which is defined here, is a complex function of H1 and H2.